And welcome back to the Fern Podcast on the Radio St. Pete Network. And we're in hour two. And this is going to be a completely NFL-centric show. An NFL-centric hour. And I talked about this brief in the beginning. I've talked about each division, a lot of the teams, preseason, you know, fantasy expectations. I talked about a lot of these teams throughout the whole interception of this show and stuff like that. But I'm going to give my official predictions, full stop, of what I think's going to happen. And to put it lightly, there's a good chance I'm wrong, because I like to overthink things and look at the umpteenth thing and look at, you know, why, I look at the optimistic side, like, you know, if this team does this, they can do this. So, we'll see how this season goes. Last season, I picked Chargers over Seahawks, and if it wasn't for some injury bugs, maybe, and some bad luck, that could have been true, but not really. So, we'll start in the AFC, in the AFC East. I'm looking at ESPN saying we're just going to go right down this whole division. And the top dog are the New England Patriots. That's not going to change. I mean, we'll talk to them as we get to the playoffs, but I've thought all along that this is going to be the best top three offense in football once again. I think their defense, I think their secondary is much improved. I think they're healthier on the front, in the front seven. Belichick's still there. I think the schedule is extremely tough. And if Brady goes down as a 41-year-old quarterback, this season's done, but knock on wood, we haven't seen Brady go down yet. And their division's not a problem. I truly think if Brian Hoyer was the quarterback, they would win. So the much of this thing is who finishes second in the division. And the clear team to me is Miami, who went 6-10 last year with Jay Cutler and a mess of just chemistry and a mess of a whole bunch of stuff. I think this is the second best team in the division. Ryan Tannehill took them to the playoffs 2 years ago. We forget that. They lost in Pittsburgh with Matt Moore, and everyone's like, oh, Matt Moore. Yeah, no, Tannehill's better than Matt Moore. They traded Jarvis Landry for Danny Amendola and Albert Wilson. Yes, not that great, but there'll still be productivity across the middle. Upgrade at tight end with the Penn State Gadecki guy there. Running back stable. Kenyon Drake is better than Jay Ajayi. Frank Gore won't be there all the time. You get Balaj, the third string. They're deep at running back. They're deep at receiver. Their O-line is probably slightly worse, but they're Laramie Tunsil. There's still some talent there. Defense is going to be a massive question mark, but you have Rashad Jones, one of the best safeties in the back end, Xavier Howard on the corner slot. So their secondary is better. Linebackers and D-line work in progress, and they spend a lot on Robert Quinn. So Robert Quinn and Cameron Wake, can that be a turn back the clock pass rush? I don't think they're going to be in a – I think they could be contending for a playoff spot, maybe. But I think this is clearly the second best team in the division. It's not even close for me. And the next two are the Jets and the Bills. We're going to be starting rookie quarterback, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen. I think the Jets are, I think these are a pair of like 4-12, 3-13 teams. Not even worth discussing a lot of my time. Who do you want to go first? We'll go Jets, finish next. We'll go Jets, Bills. I think that is putting it lightly. People are for some reason thinking the Jets, I mean, I believe in Darnold, but I think he's going to be overwhelmed with the speed of the game. And if he's just going to be dunking the ball down, that's not going to be good. I think he's going to need to push the ball on the field, especially with the receiving core he has. And I'm not sure that he can do that week one from the get-go in the first season. So we'll leave that, and we'll go to the next three, which the next three divisions in the AFC are very competitive. I'll go to the AFC North, where Pittsburgh is the overwhelming favorite to take it. But I'm very consistent in thinking Baltimore will win this division. I'm a huge Lamar Jackson fan. On record saying I think he's the second best quarterback in this draft class. Started slow, came on a little bit at the end. But I think this is a Joe Flacco resurgent year. I think this is, I said this too, Flacco is going to have a great year. They're going to win this division at 10-6, 11-5. Make a mini, I think, make a mini run in the postseason. And then trade him. I don't know who's going to trade him for something, but they will cut him or trade him after this season. And then hand the keys to Lamar Jackson. This defense is still phenomenal. There's talent everywhere. They're home. They're always extremely tough to play in Baltimore. Well coached, but one of the best special teams units year in, year out. And I think last year they missed the playoffs at 9-7 off a crazy Andy Dalton throw. So I think they go 10-6, 11-5. Navigate that tough schedule and win the division. And then I think Pittsburgh and Cincy tie at 9-7. I think Cincy goes 8-8, Pittsburgh goes 9-7. There's a lot of talent. Pittsburgh, I don't know. I still have a weird feeling it's going to be like a setback here, even though their offense is going to light it up. They're going no huddle. They have James Washington, who's one of the great rookie receiver. They have Juju Smith-Schuster, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell. That O-line's intact. Big Ben's still there. I just think that defense is not going to be that great. And I just have a weird feeling. I'm always like net pessimistic on the Steelers. I just think that, I don't know. I think they'll get a wild card spot at 9-7. But I don't think. And they'll be a dangerous team at 9-7. I think they're going to actually save Bell for the playoffs this year. A lot of people are saying they're going to run him to the ground, but James Conner has looked pretty good in the preseason. And they should do anything they can to alleviate some touches from Le'Veon Bell. So the Bengals, I would not be surprised if the Bengals are on top of this division. Any one of these three teams can win the division. Any one of them. Bengals, for years, this formula is simple. Protect Andy Dalton. This is a good team. They invested a first-round draft pick in Price, a center from Ohio State. Corey Glenn, tackle. Dalton looked great in preseason. Maybe not. He looked great in his final preseason tune-up. A.J. Green's still there, still as talented as ever, still as overlooked as ever. John Ross had that highlight touchdown catch. He's apparently looking really good. That's going to give Dalton another player to throw to. Tyler Boyd's a good slot receiver. Eifert healthy. Tyler Croft, other than healthy. Defense is a question. I mean, Geno Atkins is there. Dunlap, that D-line's going to get after quarterbacks and stuff like that, but no Burfitt for the first couple games. They released George Aluka, their starting safety. It's just maybe they see something. Adam Jones isn't there, so I want to see stuff from their defense. But I still think it's Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cincy, and Cleveland. I think Cleveland goes 7-9 and just misses out on the and misses the playoffs by a couple games. I've already talked about them. I think they'll be over. No matter who's playing quarterback for them, I think they'll be in over. In terms of hitting on their win-loss record. So far we have New England, Baltimore as division winners, and Pittsburgh as my wild card. So I have half the bracket to fill out. I'm going to go to the South, which is probably the toughest thing. You could see any four of these teams winning it. There's one clear team, and that's Jacksonville. Don't overthink this. Do not overthink this, people. People think Bortles is trash. He leaves a lot to be desired, but he went toe-to-toe at Tom Brady in a postseason matchup. They have the best defense in football. Bar none. Not even close. Best talent, best defense. Minnesota is the second best, in my opinion, and I think their secondary is weaker. Their D-line is weaker. Their linebackers I think they're great. I think Minnesota's linebacker is great. I just think Telvin Smith and Miles Jack are unbelievable. I think Jacksonville is the best defense, head and shoulders. They invested in their O-line. The receivers are eh, but their schemes are like crossing routes. They don't really, and Marquise Lee going down, that hurts, but I mean, Keelan Cole looked good. They drafted, D.D. Westbrook's talented. You could pick up receivers if you want. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me they drafted a Dez Bryant if he came in with his head on straight. So we'll see, but this is the favorite, and this is the best team in the division, from in my opinion. And after them, this is the thing I have to narrow down. Tennessee's the second best, in my opinion. I think they're really good. I think they're going to be solid coached. I think they could be a year away from getting to Jacksonville's level in terms of being a consistent team. I think their defense is going to be, their secondary is going to be okay. Malcolm Butler's coming in. Their linebacking core is okay. Jarrell Casey and the D-line's all right, but their offense is what's exciting people. Big O-line, invested a lot in their O-line, and Taylor DeJuan just made it the highest paid tackle in football. You have Derrick Henry and Deion Lewis. Receiving core that's deep, sneaky deep, with Taywan Taylor as the fourth, Rashard Matthews, Delanie Walker at the tight end position, Corey Davis hopefully to make a big sophomore jump. And it's all Mariota and LaFleur, the offensive coordinator. How much play action will they incorporate? Will they run some no-huddle to get Mariota comfortable? If that happens, this will be a really dangerous team offensively. I'm worried about their defense, but offensively, they're going to be good, well-coached, I feel like, in terms of fundamentally, but I don't think the talent's there defensively to stop them. And then next is everyone's favorite team, Houston. Actually, I'll switch it up. Now, Houston's defense, I think Houston goes like 7-9. I don't think that offense is going to be that great. No O-line. Quarterback coming off an ACL tear. Weapons galore. Defensive line, phenomenal. Honey Badger is there. Savvy secondary. But I just don't see this team as a Super Bowl threat at all. A divisional threat at all. I was going back and forth between them and Indianapolis. Only reason I'm going them over Indianapolis is because their defense and line is better. Andrew Luck's a better quarterback than Deshaun Watson. Andrew Luck's the best quarterback in this division. T.Y. Hilton's the second best receiver in this division. They have the best two tight ends in the division outside of Delanie Walker. Two of the top three tight ends in Ebron and Jack Doyle. O-line improving. Running game, a lot to be desired. Outside of T.Y. Hilton, a lot to be desired. Defense, a lot to be desired. But I don't know. I just don't think Houston's worth all the hype. I don't know. I personally just don't see it. And I know I'm looking at this as I go through, and I'm going to move on from the AFC South because I want to go through, because I still have a lot to talk about in terms of in terms of getting through the awards too, and then going through the Super Bowl teams and all that stuff. So I have a lot to do in this next couple minutes. So we're going to keep going. We're going to the AFC West. And I went back and forth between all of these teams. And I hate to say I've done it again, but I'm falling into the Los Angeles Chargers trap once again. I hate to say I am, but I am. And I think they win this division. They have the best quarterback, head and shoulders above the others. They have the best receiver. They have the best running back. They probably have the best O-line. They have, until we see what Bradley Chubb can do, they have the best pass rushing. They have the best cover corner. And those are the things that I value very highly, especially when it comes to trying to win, project winning football games. Their lack of a home field, it's whatever. Will they find ways to lose the games? There's a solid chance they'll do that a couple times. But I don't see the Chiefs being an 11-5, 10-6 team like they were last year without Alex Smith, although I love Pat Mahomes. I think you'll see my next team, who I think is the best, second best team. Oakland's about to trade their best player and have the worst defense in the football with a coach that I don't know what's going to happen offensively. They're a complete enigma on that side of the ball. So, in terms of stability and talent, the Chargers are the top in this division, and I think they take it. Next, I have Denver. I don't think it's very... I think this is another simple decision. Their defense will be improved. Their offense will actually be very much improved with a completely new backfield in Case Keenum and Royce Freeman, the tailback from Oregon. Those two alone are worth two wins. You factor that in, they get to 8 wins. I think the second wild card spot comes down between three teams: Cincinnati, Tennessee, and Denver. Slightly leaning towards... I'm leaning Denver. And I am going to go Denver. I just think Case Keenum's a stable quarterback. He has two pretty strong weapons in the pass game, just like last year. Maybe not as talented, but still solid. Emmanuel Sanders, who he's developed a great relationship with in the preseason, and then Demaryius Thomas, who's always good for 80, 90 catches and 1,000 yards and stuff like that. So I like them. Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, if Bradley Chubb is what people thought he was on the other side, that's going to rival Bosa and Ingram from the Chargers. They lost Aqib Talib in the secondary, but they still have Chris Harris Jr. and Bradley Roby. And one thing that made me very cautious about leaving Kansas City out of the playoffs and out of this division in particular is how great of a coach Andy Reid is. How much better of a coach he is than Vance Joseph and Anthony Lynn at their stage of this career. And probably will never reach the plateau that Andy Reid's at. And you give Andy Reid, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce, Kareem Hunt with Pat Mahomes, it's just Kansas City's defense is just not good. And their O-line is not the strongest either. And you let these pass rushers of the Chargers and Broncos, even though Kansas City has destroyed everyone in this division lately, I think that, and Kansas City has a great home field as well, I just think that for them to overcome the rest of this stuff. So then the next thing is Oakland, and I briefly talked about them. I don't think Derek Carr is that good. I don't know what the Khalil Mack probably won't be on the team, which means they're relying on a subpar offensive, an old offensive line with Marshawn Lynch and Doug Martin. Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, Jordy Nelson. This would be a great team in 2015. Defense is terrible. They won't be able to. Their defense is absolutely awful. So we're going to do the seedings now. And number one seed, Jacksonville Jaguars. Looking at the schedule, makes sense. Number two seed, New England. Three seed, Chargers. Four seed, Baltimore, setting up a divisional matchup in round one against Pittsburgh. And then six seed, another divisional matchup in Denver and LA. So there we have it. Jacksonville, New England, Chargers, Ravens, Pittsburgh, Broncos, setting up two divisional wild card matchups, which would probably be interesting. So leave the AFC there for now. We'll come back and go run through the seedings real quick and all that stuff. So we'll go to the NFC now. NFC East. I've been over this division. I went over this division last week. Philly, Washington, NYG, Dallas. Don't need to talk about it too much. It's that simple. I went through all these divisions pretty much, though. I don't need to talk about it too much. Philly has the best team. Washington has the second best quarterback. Giants and Dallas are question marks. I don't trust Dallas' offense or defense. I don't trust the Giants to do anything. So, there you have it. Philadelphia wins the division. Washington just misses the playoffs. NFC North, same exact thing. I discussed last week. Green Bay, my surprise team, the Detroit Lions, Minnesota Vikings, and then the Chicago Bears. I kind of discussed the NFC in a lot more in depth last week. Minnesota hasn't done anything to change my mind. I think their defense is slightly overrated. I think teams are going to challenge their cornerbacks a lot. They're going to look at that Philadelphia tape and see, you know what, we can scheme these guys. And I think that they will. And I think that they're going to test. Xavier Rhodes is great, but Waynes and Terrence Newman, those guys are going to get tested. And they're going to, that pass rush and linebacking core and safety duo is so strong, but I could be crazy for this. This comes down to Kirk Cousins. I'm slightly concerned about Dalvin Cook coming off an ACL, even though we've seen it's not a big deal. Their O-line's already falling apart, and we've seen that defense is great, but it cannot overcome as terrible as an offensive line as we saw 2 years ago with Sam Bradford there and stuff. So Detroit, been one of the worst teams in the preseason, which doesn't make me feel very confident. But, hey, it's all good. I started the ship and go down with it, and this is a Rodgers redemption year. Absolutely a Rodgers redemption year. So, he just got his extension too, so I don't think he's going to decide now to not play well and stuff like that. So, we'll go to the NFC South, where I have the Carolina Panthers finishing in first. And I think they go 12-4. I think they're the one seed. And I think Cam Newton, a little preview, I think Cam Newton's the MVP of the league. I think it's going to come down to him and Rodgers, and I think Cam's the MVP of the league. Norv Turner is using this offense in preseason beautifully. Cam is looking efficient. He's looking comfortable. This is the best set of weapons he's ever had with Curtis Samuel, Funchess, DJ Moore, Olsen, McCaffrey, and CJ Anderson. The O-line, the tackles are what scares me. But maybe benching Matt Khalil will help him, will help this improve this offense. I think their defense is going to be scary. You add Dontari Poe to the middle of this, that frees up Julius Peppers, who's still doing stuff, frees up this whole entire D-line. Kuechly, if Kuechly can stay healthy, we know this defense is phenomenal. Their secondary has to improve, I think their secondary will improve. I think they'll beat the Saints, who finish 11-5, 10-6. I think the Saints' defense takes a slight step backwards. And I think their offense is going to be a little more pass-happy this season. I think Kamara will regress slightly. I think this people are thinking the Saints are going to go to the Super Bowl, and they obviously could. They have a great young secondary, a feisty D-line pass rush. They trade up for Davenport. And they still have Cameron Jordan, who's one of the most underrated players in football. I just think Carolina is the team to beat in this division. It's just that simple. And Atlanta, I mean, Atlanta's going to be a wild card contender in my eyes. Why? I mean, you look at their team, and sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself trying to do other things. And the problem with the NFC is that I think a lot of teams are going to go like are going to go do really well, like seven, eight wins. But beside the point, the Falcons' offense is going to take a step forward. Their defense is still filled with speed every single place. They're still coached pretty well. Sarkisian and Matt Ryan are going to be on the same page. I think the Falcons are not a sleeping giant, but I feel like they're being slightly overlooked. And I think they will get to 9-10 wins as well. They got the 10 wins last year. So why can't they get to 10, maybe even 11? So, and there's the Bucks. 6-7 wins should be the goal. Evaluate Jameis. See what they have in terms of can he be your guy? This season is not about wins and losses in my eyes. Is Jameis going to be the leader? Is he going to be efficient and all those things like that? So I got Carolina, New Orleans, Atlanta, Tampa Bay. And then the NFC West. I went back and forth on this with every single slot. I'm sticking with the Rams simply because of all the talent they have. And that talent is scary on all sides of the ball. They're actually defensively, mostly defensively. You bring in Sue. You bring in Tlaib. You bring in You bring in Marcus Peters. You lose Alec Ogletree, which isn't really that big of a loss. We'll see if it is, but it's not really that big on paper. Another year of Goff in the system. Gurley's there. Gurley's there still. You know, I'm actually kind of talking myself out of them as I speak. It's really frustrating. I just have so much respect for the Seattle Seahawks. They won 9 games last year and were absolutely awful. Their offense is improved. Their O-line looks okay. The O-line looks pretty okay, which is an improvement for them. They have 4 very capable running backs. They have their top guy back in Chris Carson. They still have the best quarterback in the division by a long shot in Russell Wilson. And they have a culture of winning with Pete Carroll. Will Earl Thomas ever show up? Hopefully. But I have Seattle finishing second. And I went back. I think San Francisco and Arizona are going to finish 7-9 together. I don't think San Francisco is a Super Bowl contender, like, or a division, like, no. Jimmy G is great, but this defense still has holes. And we'll see, and the running back situation is already pretty interesting because McKinnon's already hurt. Alfred Morris is there. They got Breda. I think they're a year or two away. And I think this is the Rams year. This is the toughest division for me to pick. I'm going to have to go through the Seahawks schedule real quick. I'm going to have to go through their schedule quick. All right. At Broncos, that's okay. That's tough. At Chicago, Monday night, that's a win. Host the Cowboys. At Arizona, home, Raiders, Lions, Chargers, Rams, Packers, Panthers, Niners. Four of the last 5 at home. Let me look at the Rams schedule real quick. See, I would expect the Rams to have a slow start because they didn't play any of their starters, but they go to Oakland and host the Cardinals. And then they host the Chargers and the Vikings. I'm not worried about that. Yeah, I feel good about that. Okay, yeah. All right, cool. I feel good about that division. I do. One thing I'm not feeling good about is actually sticking with the Detroit Lions, if I'm being completely honest. If I'm being completely honest, I'm not feeling too confident about the Lions pick right now. Although their schedule is kind of weak. I'll stick with it. All right. All right. I have the playoff seedings done. I have Carolina, Green Bay, Philly, Rams, Saints, Lions. I'm going down with the Lions ship. Which means I have the Vikings, Falcons, and Seahawks missing the playoffs, which is kind of crazy to think about. Whew. All right. Let's do a round of playoffs, then I'll go through and do the awards real quick. So we'll do the AFC playoff situation first. So the AFC situation, we'll do wild card weekend first. So wild card weekend. We have 3v6 in the AFC is... I'm doing this live, yeah. We're all live, baby. I don't do any... I obviously do planning and, like, figure out and, like, research and stuff, but I feel like this is more better because it's spur of the moment. I'm talking about the information I've gathered, and it's in my head and fresh. Maybe you regret it right away, but it's all good. Chargers, Denver. I think the Chargers win. So that sets up a 2v3 LAC at New England. All right, then... Baltimore at Pitt, I think home team wins again. So I think Baltimore, that sets up Ball at Jax. Okay. Let's go to the NFC. Detroit at Philly. Come on now. That's Philly. Philly's gonna win a home. Philly will win home games. That's just what it is. Which sets up an absolute phenomenal game of Philadelphia at Green Bay. You know, I may be wrong in these, but at least these playoff matchups are exciting. Except for at least all these are playoff matchups are exciting. So then, Saints at Rams. This would be the second straight year. The Rams host an NFC South wildcard team in the division or in wildcard weekend. And for the second straight year, they fall. Setting up at a divisional matchup, Saints at Panthers. So we'll take a break there. We'll go to the awards now. Because right now the matchups we have are Jacksonville, Baltimore, Chargers, New England, Philly, Green Bay, New Orleans, Carolina. I don't think too many people would complain about that as a final eight. I wouldn't, that's for sure. So my MVP of the league, I already told you. That's Cam Newton. I absolutely think that this is the year he does it. I'm very... very okay with his odds. I think the MVP award usually goes to the quarterback of the best team in the league, and I think he is the best player in the league. I think he will be that. It's like we forget how great he was just three seasons ago, and now he has his best group of weapons on a team that is loaded, a team I expect we'll see if I can pick him to go to the Super Bowl. But I expect him to be the best player in the regular season. I love he's maturing as a leader. He's in a very efficient offensive scheme and system right now. I am extremely, extremely confident in this. For some reason, I'm like weirdly confident that the Panthers are going to do really well. So we'll see. Next is Defensive Player of the Year. And I think he's talked his way into it. And as you can see, they're my number one seed. And that's Jalen Ramsey. I mean, the guy's been the best athlete I've ever seen in my life. When I was with him his all 3 years at Florida State football. I've never seen a player of anyone's pure athleticism than what I saw from him. It's legit staggering what he can do. And that's the thing on the football field. His football field is unbelievable. The trash talking, calling quarterbacks trash, calling people just so much. He's one of the few players that can consistently back up his stuff. That can back up his consistent trash talking. And it's just, you don't throw his way. I mean, I saw someone I'd pay $100 to see him mic'd up. And I saw someone like in the social media sphere, stuff like that. And it's just, I mean, he literally leaves me speechless is what he does. And his whole persona has grown so much in these two interviews we've seen this year, where he's calling out every quarterback and receiver known to man that's ever crossed his path. So, probably not my smartest one. Actually, it's probably a safer bet. So, coach of the year, let me look at my thing real quick. Usually goes to an upstart guy. Yeah, we'll keep it going. I think Doug Marrone gets coach of the year. I think Jacksonville's going to be, like I've said, a playoff number one seed. I think Doug Marrone has done a great job coming in there. I'm instilling a system. Instilling a culture, installing a system that puts this team in the best position to succeed and win. And I think it usually goes to like the team that makes a step forward. And you know, last year went to McVay last year, and the year before that I went to Dan Quinn, and the year before that I went to Ron Rivera. So it's just pretty much just whoever puts forth the best performance, whoever's coaching the best team, much like the MVP. So Ron Rivera got it a couple years ago. I think Doug Marrone gets this year. And it's very well deserved. Projecting if this was the record they went. So next is defense player of the year. Offensive player of the year. It's likely the same. It's like the statistician. It's the statistician award. I think Brady's going to put up the best numbers. I think Rodgers is going to be stupid good, but I think Brady will be. I think Brady's. I don't know. He could break records this year without great receivers. I mean, obviously, he has Gronk and all these things, but I think he's a safe bet. I think Brady's a safe bet to win it. And I'm losing a little steam here, I'm not going to lie, but I'm just trying to, like, talk a lot. I've been talking about the NFL so much, I'm just trying to, like, come up with new things to say, but it's Tom Brady. He won the MVP last year. I think they're going to have to score a bunch. I think they're going to throw a bunch. And I think he's going to put up 4,800 yards and about 40 touchdowns. I think Chris Hogan and Gronk are going to have eye-popping numbers of seasons, and I think Brady will be the best offensive player of the year. Next, defensive rookie of the year. There's only one person that makes sense, and that's Bradley Chubb. He's in a phenomenal position to succeed. He's going to be facing single coverage, single blockage the whole time, because Von Miller is going to absorb so much of the defense, of the offense attention. And he has six games in the NFC West against left tackles that aren't that good. You know, their other contenders are Roquan Smith. Derwin James can make it. Oh. Changing it. Nah, they're both making the playoffs in my thing, so I'll go that. I think Derwin James is another one. Denzel Ward, if Cleveland makes a big jump. But it's pretty much it. I don't think Roquan Smith is going to get enough. I don't think the Bears are going to win enough for him to get it. So I think Bradley Chubb gets it. Offensive Rookie of the Year is pretty straightforward. It's Saquon, simply because... simply because no offensive rookie is going to be put... I mean, Darnold, if the Jets win six games, it'll be Darnold. But I don't think anyone's going to be put in a position to succeed better than this guy. Better than Saquon. He's going to be getting touching the ball 25 times a day. And I just think he's just... I think he's going to be... I don't think he's going to be a superstar or even a star from the get-go, but in terms of the other names like Darnold and Royce Freeman, who I like, and I've mentioned him before, but I don't think it's going to be anything like that. But comeback player of the year, I'm going David Johnson. I think he'll be the best running back in football. I think offensive player of the year is going to be between Brady and David Johnson. David Johnson played a quarter last year. Andrew Luck, everyone, a lot of people think Andrew Luck. I don't think the Colts are going to win enough. J.J. Watt, I don't know if he can stay healthy. I think Clowney's going to take a lot of the sacks numbers, so I don't think the numbers and the productivity in terms of numbers will be there. I don't consider Rodgers a comeback player of the year because he played a good amount of games. And so I think David Johnson's going to have a... because it's his contract season. And he's in a fight. He's honestly in a fight for his life. He's in a fight for his contract. For some reason, they're just like, oh, we don't want to pay the money. So I think David Johnson wins this award. And then I think... why is Derek Carr there? Derek Carr played most of the season too. See, this is what's confusing about comeback player of the year. You should have to miss double-digit games to win this award. If you are one of those people that misses like 6-7 games, like Deshaun Watson played 6 games, I guess that's comeback player of the year. You come back from injury, but it should be you literally missed the whole season or 2/3 of the season. So I'll leave it right there. That's my awards. Only two I think that'll be 100% right are the rookies of the year, and those are pretty obvious choices. But MVP, I got Cam Newton. Defensive player of the year, Jalen Ramsey. Coach of the year, Doug Marrone. Offensive player of the year, Tom Brady. Defensive rookie of the year, Bradley Chubb. Offensive rookie of the year, Saquon Barkley. And comeback player of the year, David Johnson. So let's keep it going. And let's go to the AFC playoff picture. LAC versus New England. Chargers versus the Patriots. I have the Chargers advancing. Ugh, I'm doing it again. No. I think New England does it. I think this is Brady's last stand. And the reason I'm saying that is because I think Belichick goes into this game already preparing for the Chargers. And you give Belichick 2 weeks. And I think that they're just going to sit in shock. And like we saw last year when these two teams matched up. The Patriots find their running game late in the season. When their offensive line coach and their offensive line gets their stuff together and they figure out what works. And the weakness of the Chargers defense is up the middle in the running game. I think this is going to be a 30-35 rush game. And then when Chargers adapt to it by going big, it's quick passing game. This is when Brady's at his best, quick feet, running the ball up the middle, and I think this is when they get it done. I really think Patriots will have this game plan offensively. But the Chargers are going to milk that clock like they always do and do some 8-9 minute drives. No one on the Patriots can cover Keenan Allen. But I think the Chargers year is next year when Phillip Rivers has a couple years left. But I think this is where they fall short. This is going to be a great... I think this is like a 28-24 game with the Patriots take. And then the next one, Baltimore at Jacksonville. I don't have to say much. It's Jacksonville. This is just... This is the... Jalen Ramsey just recently came out and said that Joe Flacco's trash and all that stuff. There's no way Baltimore goes in there and beats Jacksonville, in my opinion. This is going to be defensive slugfest, and I think Jacksonville takes it. There's not that much to... I think Bortles will make more plays than Flacco. I think Jacksonville's defense is going to just be jacked up for this game, which sets up a... It's the main reason it is because I think New England and Jacksonville are destined to play in the AFC Championship game again. They're destined for a rematch. They're destined for some sort of thing like that. And I think they get it done. So that leaves us with the NFC. Philly at Green Bay. And I have no idea who I'm going to pick. Honestly, when I was doing my playoff seeding as I was going through it, I did not expect to have Philly at Green Bay in this juncture. Do I bet against Aaron Rodgers? Or do I bet against Philadelphia? That's so tough. This would be one of Aaron Rodgers' top three wins if he pulls this off. If he could beat this Philly team in the playoffs at full strength, this is one of his best things. But if there's one thing I trust, it is Aaron Rodgers at home in the playoffs. So I'm going to have Green Bay squeaking by to take on the Carolina Panthers. I think the Panthers are going to beat the Saints. I mean, we've seen what Cam can do at home. 2 years, when they went to the Super Bowl, how they demolished... who did they demolish in their first game? Was it the Packers? 2016 Carolina Panthers playoff. Oh, they destroyed the Seahawks, but the Seahawks came back. And then Seahawks came back and got a couple meaningless touchdowns. And then they beat the Cardinals 49-14, a phenomenal Cardinals team. I can't get that in those images out of my head. So I think they get it done. I think they beat the Saints. I picked them to win the division. So if I pick them to win the division, I feel like it makes sense if I pick them to take down the Saints in the playoffs in a home game. If I truly think they're the better team, I think that's what happened. So the final four. Once again, I don't think anyone will complain about a New England at Jacksonville rematch and two of the top five faces in the sport in Rodgers and Cam Newton. So I picked it last year, and I'm picking him again. The Jacksonville Jaguars will beat the New England Patriots to go to the Super Bowl. They were extremely unlucky to not beat him last year. You know, because the main thing I focus on about the game is that the offense stalled out. The Jacksonville Jaguars did. And then Jacksonville's defense on the field too long and their pass rush got tired. I don't think that's going to happen this time around. And the main play was early in the fourth quarter, they were up 10 points. And Miles Jack made a great effort play, stripped the ball from Deion Lewis, grabbed the ball, was not touched, and started sprinting the other way. But there was an inadvertent whistle. There was a whistle, called the play dead. Jacksonville challenges. It's a fumble to get the ball back. But you know what happened because the ref blew the whistle? Miles Jack couldn't keep running. And he would have scored a touchdown that would have put him up 17 points in the fourth quarter. And that would have been, they would have won. They would have absolutely won that game. There were some bad pass interference calls. We don't know what New England's defense, New England's running game. I think this is Jacksonville will go to the Super Bowl. And I think Brady was going to get beaten up in this game and then call it quits. He doesn't want to go out like this, but I think he's going to be like, okay, I barely survived last year in terms of hits in the, between Jacksonville and Philly. And I think Jacksonville's going to, put the nail in the coffin in Brady's NFL career. Which sets up a battle between my two favorite quarterbacks, between Rodgers and the Panthers. Rodgers and Cam Newton. The Panthers' area of weakness on defense is in the secondary. The Packers, oh, man. Wow, that's annoying. I just realized the Packers are so, so thin already at the middle linebacker position. And are going to get run over. Wow. Forgot to think about that. Oh, well, we're here now. Makes it a little easier now. Panthers win. That home field advantage. Cam, McCaffrey, I just think it's just one of those. I just think everyone's dogging them. What are their Super Bowl odds? The Panthers Super Bowl odds are +4,000. Hold on. Timeout. This cannot be true. These are the teams that they are behind. Okay, with the Patriots. The Rams have the second best Super Bowl odds. Okay. All right. Sure. Steelers, Eagles, cool with that. Packers, Vikings, cool with that. Saints, Chargers, okay with that. Texans. Sure. The 49ers, the Cowboys, the Raiders, the Chiefs, and I'm slightly okay with the Ravens. Chiefs, Raiders, Cowboys, 49ers, and Texans have better odds than a top three defensive player, I rate him top five quarterback in the NFL, a former MVP with a revamped offense. They have the same odds. Okay, I need to stop. I just need to stick to my gut. And in the Super Bowl, the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Carolina Panthers. That's what I have. That's what I came up with. And I don't know. I don't know who I'd pick in this matchup. I really don't know. I kind of want to pick the Jaguars. But I don't know if I can have Blake Bortles lifting a Super Bowl trophy. So, sticking with the year of the Carolina Panthers and Cam, I'm picking the Carolina Panthers to win the Super Bowl. Cam has been here before. He's faced a vaunted defense in the Broncos and lost. I think he gets it done this time. I'm probably eating way too much into Carolina. I'm just reading. I don't know what it is. But I looked at their roster. I'm like, I was like, I think Carolina's going to have a down year. I'm like, I really think they're going to have a bad year. And I looked at the roster, and I'm just like, hold on. If they can get any offensive line, improvement at all, there's no weakness on this team. Like, at all. Like, I'll read you their depth chart real quick. Torrey Smith, DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, wide receiver. Devin Funchess, Jarius Wright. Jarius Wright's a good slot receiver. DJ Moore can do it all. Curtis Samuel's explosive. Torrey Smith is a deep threat. Devin Funchess, red zone. That's strong. O-line needs a lot of help. But their tight end, Greg Olsen, looks better. Cam, you have McCaffrey and CJ Anderson. Both looks, McCaffrey looks phenomenal. He looks so good. And he's built, and he's gonna get, he's working in the slot, so he's another receiver. Defensive line alone. Julius Peppers, Don Terry Poe, Kawan Short, Mario Addison. Yeah, it's pretty solid. Linebackers. Shaq Thompson, Luke Kuechly, Thomas Davis suspended for the first four games. Still, one of the top three linebacking groups in football. Secondary, James Bradbury. Hopefully, this is where it's scary. With James Bradbury, Denoris Searcy, Mike Adams, and Kayvon Seymour. That is scary. But we've seen secondaries take a step forward before. And I'm under the impression this one will. So I'm once again, as you will see, especially in the NFL, I make seem outlandish NFL picks because it's not really fun picking chalk. I mean, last year I thought the Eagles won that division handily. I thought they beat the Patriots. I thought they'd win the Super Bowl once they got in the, I thought they were going to the Super Bowl. That was my prediction. Not beginning of the season, but after that I saw what they did. And a lot of this is health and nutrition and coaching. And for some reason, I just think it's like just a stick it to everyone year when it comes to the Panthers. So I'm all in on the Cam train. And that's going to conclude this episode of the Firm Podcast on the Radio St. Pete Network. So after hearing me ramble on about my NFL predictions for 56 minutes, I'm pretty sure you guys are like, all right, this guy's just a little off the edge when it comes to his sports stuff. And it could be the fact that it's 2:12 in the morning when I'm finishing up this podcast recording after it was a busy, busy week. But, hey, 2:12 in the morning, Michael Duggar thinks the Carolina Panthers will defeat the Jacksonville Jaguars in Super Bowl 53. So, thanks for listening, guys. And, as always, have a good one. Enjoy the first week of college football. And we're in it. We made it. Football's back officially. Have a good one, everybody.